Father, we are grateful today for our Lord Jesus Christ, for the privilege of praying together. Thou dost know our individual needs today. We pray that Thou wilt meet them. Grant that another day may not dawn before we are conscious of the fact that Thou hast heard and answered our prayers. Open the Word of God to us now. Help us to understand it in relation to ourselves. And we'll give Thee all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, you will want to open them to the 9th chapter of the book of the Revelation, which we are studying together. You will want to keep a marker there because we are calling to your attention other passages of Scripture. At the present time, we are discussing the bottomless pit to which reference is made in the 9th chapter of the book of the Revelation. We have been attempting to establish the fact there is such a place, a literal place. One of the reasons we gave you for there being a literal place, such as the bottomless pit, is that the Lord Jesus Christ visited the bottomless pit. We gave you some New Testament passages to verify that, and as our time came to an end, the last time we were with you, we were going to give you additional passages of Scripture to emphasize the fact that the bottomless pit is a literal place which the Lord Jesus Christ himself visited for a specific purpose. So, keeping a marker in Revelation chapter 9, where we may turn back to it easily, we would like for you now to turn in your Bibles, please, to Psalm number 71. This is not a truth that is taught only in the New Testament. It is a truth that is emphasized throughout all the Word of God. Both the Old and the New Testaments, remember, are one complete testimony. In Psalm number 71, a messianic psalm, and a messianic psalm, you will remember, is a prophetic psalm related to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Psalm number 71, we read from verse 19, "Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high, who hast done great things. O God, who is like unto Thee? Thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles, shalt quicken me again, and shalt bring me up again," notice now, "from the depths of the earth." Bring me up again from the depths of the earth. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking prophetically. Is He saying that God is going to bring him up from the depths of the earth? No, he's talking about a grave 6 feet below the ground. He is talking about a bottomless pit. Let me repeat myself. Is the Lord Jesus Christ literally saying that God is going to bring him up from the depths of the earth? Or is he talking about a grave 6 feet below the ground? We would suggest to you, he is talking about the bottomless pit. Now, will you turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 12, and notice an even more specific reference to this truth at which we are looking. When the Lord Jesus Christ, in response to a request for a sign, uttered these words, the people of his day were saying, "We want a sign. We want to know that you're the Son of God." Now, with that attitude and frame of mind on the part of the people, will you notice what he said to them in Matthew, the 12th chapter and the 40th verse? "For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." Here again, notice the phrase, "the heart of the earth." We have a distinct reference to the bottomless pit. It is in the heart of the earth. For further verification of the fact that we are not talking about a hole in the ground 6 feet below the surface of the ground, may I suggest that you turn with me now to the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, and notice again the testimony that is given relative to this thing that we are talking about. Peter is preaching, and he's quoting from the book of David, that is, from the book of Psalms. And he said in verse 22, Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you, by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, notice now, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because, listen carefully, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Look at the word hell in verse 27. It should be Hades instead of hell, and the reason for it will be apparent in a moment. The Lord Jesus Christ is saying to God, thou didst not leave my soul in Hades. Now, if you are following me in your thinking, you can see that the bottomless pit, the heart of the earth, the depths of the earth, are all used in conjunction with this New Testament word Hades. This leads us to suggest to you that the bottomless pit in the heart of the earth is a place of unseen spirits. It is not one great big place. It's a very specialized place. The bottomless pit has in it Hades. Hades at one time included paradise. It includes hell. It includes another place at which we will be looking before we are through, called Tartarus, the place of evil spirits who are incarcerated there for a specific purpose. Now, let us look at the Word of God and see that what I say to you is absolutely true. You turn with me to Luke 23, which is another report of the crucifixion story. You will remember that it represents the conversation carried on between the two thieves and the Lord Jesus Christ as they hung on their respective crosses. You will remember in verse 39 we find the words, one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, that is on Christ, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, notice carefully now, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. What was the promise the Savior gave to the dying thief? Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Where did the Lord Jesus Christ go immediately upon his death? We've already learned the fact. He went into the very heart of the earth. Where did he go in the very heart of the earth? Into Hades. Into what part of Hades did he go? Into paradise. That Hades is composed of both paradise and hell becomes evident if you will turn back in the Gospel of Luke to a very familiar story, the story of the rich man and Lazarus. We read in Luke 16, the paragraph which begins with verse 19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass, notice the accuracy of the language here, that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, which is another name for paradise. The rich man also died and was buried. There's a big difference, beloved, believe me, between the way Christians die and the way unsaved people die. Now in verse 23, the rich man in hell, and a better word is Hades, the rich man in Hades lifted up his eyes, being in torment, seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And Lazarus, send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. The higher critics now, of course, will probably say that the flames of hell are imaginary. But I'll tell you one thing, they were very real to this man. Notice verse 25. Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Listen very closely. Beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can any pass to us that would come from thence. That should settle forever whether there is any point in praying for the dead. There is an impassable gulf. You don't get from one place to the other. In this passage of Scripture we see Hades, the bottomless pit, the depth of the earth, the heart of the earth, the bottomless shaft, is made up both of paradise where saved people go and Hades where evil people go. And Hades gives its name to the whole thing. It's just as if I were to meet somebody in a foreign country. He would say to me, Where are you from? And I would say, The United States. I would meet somebody a bit later and he would say, Where are you from? And I would say, From Texas. The first man would say, Wait a minute, why don't you get your story straightened out? One time you say you're from the United States and the next time you say you're from Texas. How come? And I would say, Well, Texas is in the United States. I don't want to force the analogy too much here, that Texas is like paradise, but the illustration is there nevertheless. If an individual is in paradise, he is in Hades. It does not necessarily follow that if he is in Hades, he is in paradise, for the one is the name of the whole. I'm going to have to stop right there. The bottomless pit is real. Pray God you will not have to spend your time in hell. And we'll talk about that more the next time we meet together.